This is Jay Sekulow, standing for our military at the International Criminal Court at The Hague.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
We have got a lot that we've been talking about. There's been impeachment issues. We've had cases at the Supreme Court. You know what we've been dealing with. Let me tell you what else is going on. December 4th, 5th, and 6th, we are at the, I call it the Supreme Court. It's the Supreme Court of the International Criminal Court. It's the appeals chamber of the ICC in the matter of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, where the Office of the Prosecutor is trying to get jurisdiction over the Taliban, Afghan National Security Forces, and the United States military for alleged war crimes. This is a huge, huge case. I want to first go to Jordan, then I'm going to go to everybody here very quickly. We're going to get into the details of the case in a moment. But Jordan, you studied this. You got an LLM in this from Georgetown. This is probably the biggest case they've taken on this jurisdictional issue ever.
It's the ultimate move for them to consider if they're going to try and assume this jurisdiction on their own over the United States to this backhanded approach that violates international law, international norms, that violates their own statute, really. And so to try and backdoor access to the United States and thus basically be able to assert jurisdiction over anyone whenever they want to, because if you could do it to a party who has not signed, you could do it to any party that hasn't signed. But taking on the U.S., the most powerful, the strongest military in the world, and one of the more active in the world as well, this would be the ultimate move. Now, the lower court, the ICC, was unwilling to go there, told the prosecutor no.
Right.
You can't.
But the prosecutor's appealed.
But this appeal was accepted by their highest chamber, like their Supreme Court. So just the acceptance there alone is concerning that they're even considering this appeal. They didn't have to go there either.
Skip, what do you think about the significance of this? For our donors, for the members of the ACLJ, what does this mean?
Well, it's significant that you're going to be there giving the United States view for the first time. We are there saying that the treaty as it now stands in violation of customary international law, and that's the law that binds the United States, and the United States is reacting because this court is exercising what they call exorbitant jurisdiction. It's exercising jurisdiction that violates the law. They keep talking about the rule of law, but they're in the very act of talking about it, they're violating the rule of law. The United States is pushing back, and I think this is going to be a situation where the court finally is going to have to come to reality with respect to the fact that it is not a universal court. It cannot just try whomever it wishes, and they need to make some changes in order to remain a viable court in the international scene.
What's happening if you see this case?
Very, very significant. You know, recently the president pardoned two U.S. soldiers and restored the rank of another one who were actually unfairly accused of murder. Think what it would be like, Jay, if these soldiers were under the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court.
Horrific is what I think, Harry.
Well, essentially, global elites want national policy to be subordinated, to the global elites themselves who dislike the common folk who live in what is called flyover country. The ICC is an instrument of the global elites who want to set policy, and they want to take policy decisions away from elected representatives. We have an internationally recognized justice system in the United States. We are prepared to administer justice if U.S. servicemen engage in misconduct. We do not need an international body to oversee us.
I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington. Obviously, this implicates that there's been a lot of administrations have said no to this treaty, not just for Republicans.
Question. No question about it, Jay. And I would just add a layer to the jurisdiction point. Look, there's no two ways about it. The United States military is a tremendous force for good in the world, but it's very popular around the globe to criticize them. We ask them to put themselves in harm's way for us, Jay. Now, when they're attacked in an international body like this, it's our duty to defend them. That's a second reason why it's very important for us to be there.
It's a unique time to support the work of the ACLJ because we are in this position to be there representing this position for saying this is the U.S. This has been the position, and it's not just filing like an amicus, but actually being the main lead on it. And you can support that work and the defense of those who usually are the ones defending us at ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Whatever you donate, effectively doubles. So we've got the group of donors say every donation that comes through this month, we're going to match that donation. But you got to make the initial donation for that match to trigger. So you go to ACLJ.org. And donate today. Double the impact of your donation. And you can kind of get a sense, too, at our website of all the different issues, all the different work that we're engaged in at ACLJ.org. But we encourage you to support us. Important month for us at ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Folks, as we have called it, the biggest international case, one of the biggest cases we've ever dealt with in the ACLJ and our European affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, the biggest case we've ever dealt with because it involves the protecting the interests of U.S. armed forces, U.S. intelligence agents and agencies. We're talking about all branches, all intelligence agencies. This relates to Afghanistan. We've got a couple questions coming on Facebook and Periscope. We're also taking your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. And if you're on Facebook and Periscope, I encourage you to share this broadcast right now with your friends and family because I guarantee you they don't know about this yet. They don't know about this move yet by the ICC to try and get jurisdiction over U.S. troops. That's the ultimate goal here, to even investigate U.S. troops. I mean, that is the question here. Do they even have the jurisdiction to investigate U.S. troops? Can their prosecutor do that? And if so, can they then bring charges? And if they can bring charges, do warrants issue? And you're traveling abroad and there's a warrant against you. Are you picked up and then tried by the ICC because you happen to be one of those servicemen and women? Even though the U.S. has never agreed to sign on to what's called the Rome Statute, we have never joined the International Criminal Court. We are not a state party. But in this case, we have been asked to do that. We'll be at the ICC in robes. If we play the video, we will for you later in the week of what it looks like at the International Criminal Court in the specific robes you have to wear when you appear before this international tribunal. The U.S. government will not do it because by showing up, oftentimes courts say, if you show up, you are, in a sense, acceding to the jurisdiction of a court, even if you've said in the past it doesn't have jurisdiction. So the U.S. government won't do it. We have to. We get in there and fight for the U.S. position. So we are actually directly, your financial support is directly going to the defense of U.S. troops and the U.S., the interest of the U.S. military and of our intelligence agencies as well. It's unique that we wouldn't be like partnering with the U.S. government or siding with the U.S. military, but that we are actually in a, representing the position of the U.S. military at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And if you donate this month, the month of November, your donations are doubled. And what a time where we need resources, folks, because we've got to put together a big team to get to The Hague in less than a month to get there to prepare to present this case. December 4th, 5th, and 6th. So So we're already working on it behind the scenes. There's a lot of details and specifics we could get into. We kind of wanted to give you an overview today. We need your financial support. You know, it happened to fall. We got this on October 24th, this order from the court, and we wanted to make sure that the order we got was exactly what we thought, was it was actually an order to appear before the court, not just to issue a written submission before the court. And it absolutely was, and it was because we had this unique position of actually defending. The court says it in no uncertain terms. That you have indicated an intention to present a different perspective. What does that tell you? Everyone else there is going to be with the perspective of go after the U.S. troops, go after the brave men and women who serve our country, not us at the ACLJ and the ECLJ. We are going to defend the brave men and women who risk their lives to serve our country and voluntarily choose to do that. And let me go to the phones and answer some of the questions, but remember to donate today, and you'll be directly supporting the work in this case and double the impact of your donation all in the entire month of November. Whatever you donate is effectively doubled. So if you donate $25 right now to the ACLJ, a donor is going to match every donation. Donors are going to match. A group of donors will match every donation that comes in. So if you donate $25, that's effectively like donating $50. Go to ACLJ.org right now and be part of our matching challenge. Let me go to Dave, who is a veteran in Salem, Oregon. Dave, thank you for your service to our country. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a question. When I joined the service back during the Vietnam era, I took an oath to, and my commander-in-chief at that time was the president of the United States. I'm really trying to control my anger because I remember coming back and having things thrown at me.
Yep.
And being called a baby killer. And I don't see how our brothers and sisters, we would not have a military if we have to start answering to somebody other than the president of our country.
But of course, and you've got military, we have military courts, Dave. I mean, you take your oath to your commander in chief who issues those orders. We have Congress who approved, you know, war powers resolutions. We have military courts that handle court martials, Dave. And I understand your anger as a Vietnam veteran, someone who was not respected when they should have been when they came back to our country for the service, for the honor, for serving their country. And in that situation, many who didn't have a choice because of the draft were not choosing to voluntarily necessarily serve, were drafted into service, did so honorably, and were not treated so by their own country when they returned. But you ask, how does this happen? Well, there's a statute, a treaty. The International Criminal Court is not like part of the UN. It's, again, sometimes it refers things from like the UN Security Council and things like that, but it is separate. It is a treaty set up on its own. It's called the Rome Statute. It kind of went into effect in 1997 when there were enough signatories to then start the court. And Than, I think we don't have the book on in front of me. It's about this big. It's a lot different than establishing like how you establish our court system in the United States or our federal courts. Again, you've got about 2/3 of the countries of the world are signed onto it, but the major superpowers have not. So the court has never really been able to flex its full muscles. So it's looking at other ways to get at those countries. And target number one, of course, is the U.S. military.
And they're sure trying to flex those muscles, Jordan. I mean, the important thing for Dave is that the United States has not ratified it. I mean, Bill Clinton wanted to. He initially started the process of signing it. It was never ratified. And in 2002, George W. Bush removed the United States from that process. So we are not subject to the jurisdiction. And Jordan, jurisdiction is a word we're going to use a lot when talking about this issue. And make no mistake about it, jurisdiction over the United States is always what these international bodies are ultimately after. The issue of the day might change, Jordan, but ultimately they're trying to find jurisdiction over the United States, and in this case, United States forces. But let me just say this to Dave and to our other listeners. Even if you set that issue aside, Jordan, which you can't really do, but even if you set jurisdiction aside, this process that the International Criminal Court engages in, Jordan, it's intended for terrorists. It's intended for the likes of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram. It is being used against U.S. service members. So, number one, the United States is not under the jurisdiction of the ICC. And, Jordan, number two, Dave and other members who have served in our armed forces ought to be offended that a process reserved for terrorists is now being aimed at the members of our military.
Let me tell you some of the people who have been indicted by the ICC. Omar Bashir, who was the former president of Sudan, finally overthrown by his own people, though the military took over in Sudan recently. Not a great situation there. He has been faced an international indictment. Remember Joseph Kony? There was a lot of talk about him and the Lord's Resistance Army, and I remember that happening a lot in the Christian community and churches, this talk about finding Joseph Kony, that he's been, again, there's been an international criminal court indictment against him. The Kenyan president for unrest there, who's President Kenyatta. There was an ICC warrant for Muammar Gaddafi. There have only been, this will only be the ninth situation, kind of as they like to call it, the ninth, specific situation that the ICC has even looked into. I mean, it's very unique. Again, it's not like they are running through things very quickly. This is the ninth. So the previous investigations, just to give you kind of like a quick overview of what the ICC's top level, like their Supreme Court has looked at, is abuses within the Democratic Republic of Congo. And then there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 named individuals there that they wanted to prosecute. Some they were able to, some that were acquitted, some that they never were able to find or arrest. In Uganda, you had, about 5. Only one they were able to even begin trial on. A Central African Republic, there were, again, 5 situations there. Only a few have been handled. Then, the atrocities in Darfur and Sudan. The leader there, Omar Bashir, but now he's been overthrown by the Sudanese government, and he's on trial in Sudan. Kenya, Libya, Ivory Coast, and Mali. And the next up is the situation in Afghanistan. That is it. So that's how historic this is, even for the purposes of the International Criminal Court. When we come back, we'll take all your phone calls. I want to thank Cambria and Mary for holding on. We'll get to your calls when we get back. But let me remind you, we're going to be the oral argument that we're involved in is at The Hague in the Netherlands. We need your support financially. This is, and it happens to be, sometimes the timing is perfect, because this happens to be a matching challenge month with whatever you donate. In the month of November is effectively doubled because we have a group of donors who will match every donation to the ACLJ. Donate today to the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Defend our troops. Defend the brave men and women who defend us. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40. A $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life. Online at aclj.org.
So we've got a lot of questions that are similar coming in. I think what Steven on Facebook wrote is perfect, which is, this is absolutely unacceptable. But I want to go to Cambria's call from Utah, because I think it kind of sets the stage. It also answers Kathy on Facebook's question as well. Cambria, welcome to JSecio Live. Thank you for hanging on. We're going to get you a book as well, signed, the next Red Wave, signed to you. So we'll get your address to get that book to you. But go ahead. You have a really good question about this case.
Thank you very much. I think you answered part of my question, so I modified it, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
How many allies do we have in the ICC? And secondly, what is to keep them from retaliating with our, you know, against our allies?
So we don't, there's no allies at the ICC. There are states that are members. And if they're members, they have agreed to the terms of what the International Criminal Court and the Rome Statute means. They have given some of their sovereignty over, their judicial sovereignty over, when it comes to matters of war and then the prosecution of potential war crimes. Now, countries like the UK and Canada and others think, hey, we're never going to have to be that signed on to this. This will never apply to us because we have complementary court systems that can deal with this. And that should be the case with the U.S., even though we're not a member. But the ICC is quickly learning that if they go with that idea, that, oh, well, since they have a court system, we can't ever prosecute it, then all they're ever going to be doing is prosecuting African warlords and kids who work for those African warlords. So to broaden out their jurisdiction, they've got these whole other arguments that have usually worked before and held a lot of weight, they're testing. They're testing through the prosecutor who lost this case, Cambria, at the lower court in the ICC. They said no, it would be against the interest of justice to do this. But the appeals chamber, which is the Supreme Court inside the ICC, said we're going to take the case. And that's when our alarm bells went off. Why is the appeals chamber, their highest court, saying they want to hear this? And the chief, the president of the ICC's appeals chamber, so they're kind of like their chief justice, had to recuse himself because he's already been very clear on this matter. He thinks the ICC would have jurisdiction. So he had to recuse himself from this case. So as Kathy wrote in, how would this be enforced? And it would be enforced through, you look at a map, and if you, we'll pull it up for tomorrow, of all the countries that have ratified the International Criminal Court and that are members of the ICC. It's most of the world. So it'd be enforced by, if you're traveling into one of those countries. So when you're in another country, you are subject to their jurisdiction. And if a warrant issues from a country than that you're a, or a, in this case, an international organization, and you're traveling in Brazil because they're a member, or one of the Caribbean countries that's a member, or Mexico or Canada that's a member, and a warrant issues for you from the ICC, that country under the Rome Statute is supposed to then apprehend you and send you over to The Hague. You're not automatically found guilty, but for trial. I mean, they're supposed to do that. That is what the ICC's goal here is, to ultimately get that kind of jurisdiction over U.S. military troops and intelligence agents, including veterans. So after the conflicts are long over.
And Jordan, I think it's enforcement by intimidation. I mean, can you imagine a U.S. service member having to go through the rigmarole to check and see if a place that he or she wants to travel might carry this risk? And Jordan, I would just make two points based on that last caller. First of all, I think these countries that have made a calculation that they will never be a target of the ICC because they have these processes in place, and so they think it's okay to sign. Jordan, that is a very risky move for them to take, and I would suggest that they need to take another look at it. right? Because if we've seen in international tribunals really all over the world, they're always looking to expand their jurisdiction, and you never know who's going to end up being a target. The second thing, Jordan, the caller asked if we have allies. I've got to tell you, we have become very accustomed to, in these international tribunals, most often at the UN, but it's no surprise at the ICC either, at being a very lonely minority. That's okay, Jordan. Sometimes you have to stand on truth and you have to stand on justice, even if you're the only one or in a very small amount of company making those arguments.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Mary in Maryland on line three. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you very much. My question is, I don't understand how American law professors can be allowed to speak against our soldiers.
Oh, because they're not, they would say, well, I'm not speaking against U.S. soldiers. I'm speaking for a jurisdiction of a court. You know, if our soldiers did nothing wrong, then they should have nothing to fear in this prosecution. These are American law professors who believe in this idea of world courts to enforce human rights law. And the idea of the ICC sprung out of the need for sometimes having those special tribunals, like Nuremberg for the Nazis, like the special tribunal for the war crimes in Yugoslavia and Slobodan Milosevic and those activities. And by the way, his case, he died in prison before the case was ever even finalized. And ultimately, the evidence came to light that even though he was not a nice guy, he had nothing to do with the atrocities that he was being charged with. But he died in prison in The Hague. But that was under a special tribunal that was created to investigate crimes against humanity and war crimes. So there was this idea that, hey, instead of having to create these special tribunals for like those horrendous situations in Darfur or in Rwanda when you had, again, the genocides there, let's have a permanent body to do this. The danger in having a permanent body to do this is that if the permanent body doesn't abide by its own restrictions, as Mark said, and Than, I just want to underscore, it's supposed to be very limited in jurisdiction. You're supposed to really only, if you're the ICC, be able to investigate members and actors within countries, militaries, intelligence agencies, for these specific horrendous acts, which, again, the prosecutor is alleging that there are war crimes to investigate here of the U.S. military. War crimes like torture, crimes against humanity, serious offensives. That if they were convicted, that's life, and they don't have the death penalty anymore at the ICC. It'd be life in prison at the Hague, in the prison that they operate. But then the idea was that you don't do that with countries that have real court systems, even if you don't always agree with their court systems. But if they have real court systems where there's real due process, then you don't mess with those countries. You're worried about the countries where victims would have no effective place to be heard, and the aggressors would never be brought to justice. And that's, again, would take out a lot of the major powers in the world, but the ICC has said this is not enough. We don't have enough work to do. Like I said, they've only done 8 cases that have gotten to their Supreme Court. So they want to think about broadening out their jurisdictional abilities, their ability to reach into a country like the U.S. So in this sense, then, it's our brave men and women in the armed forces who are usually the ones standing up and defending us. Now it's our turn at the ACLJ and the ECLJ, and our members' turn to put their money where their mouth is in the real, very real sense by donating to the ACLJ right now, because the U.S. government can't go to this court and defend them. We are going to go to this court and defend them.
It was only supposed to apply to specific crimes in specific countries that had signed onto the statute. The United States has not done that, Jordan. But, Jordan, this is how it always goes. Eventually, these international tribunals always aim at the United States. And in this case, they're aiming at our service members. Look, I don't see there's much choice in this one, Jordan. This is something that every one of our members, really every American, should be standing up and joining us in mounting a defense.
Okay, this is the time, folks. We have a matching challenge. Put your money where your mouth is when you say you support our troops. Go to ACLJ.org right now and donate to our efforts at the International Criminal Court. My dad and I are arguing the case.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this with your friends. I want to get into a series of cases. I mean, we got a lot of them. I'm holding a stack, our briefing books for the International Criminal Court in The Hague. This is the case I'll be arguing in a couple of weeks. And we now have, I'm holding in this hand, a series of briefs to the Supreme Court of the United States on the issue of life. Now, a lot of these cases are huge ramifications, but I will tell you, this is also the first case involving the issue of abortion where you've got both Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh actually on the court. But I want to start with who is the main adversary here. As you know, we had a trial in California that went on for almost 6 weeks against our client, who was a former board member of the Center for Medical Progress. The case was brought by Planned Parenthood and others, and they try to shut down the ability of investigative journalism to take place. And the court issued a series of adverse rulings during the proceeding, and the jury came back with a verdict that we think is wrong, including fines against our client, which are now being appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals to the Ninth Circuit. But what I want to start with is who we're dealing with here, and that is Planned Parenthood. So I'm going to first to Cece Heil. When you say Planned Parenthood, Cece, what does that tell you?
The biggest provider of abortion in the world, probably across the world. And they will do whatever it takes to stay in business. They will fight tooth and nail, and they will do that proactively every time. And every time we have any kind of abortion issue, Planned Parenthood is always the opponent on the other side.
You know, we look at the case. We had some very unusual rulings in this case, I will say, including identifying our client, issues on Fifth Amendment privilege. That it's, again, Jordan, when we're dealing with Planned Parenthood, it's always the abortion distortion. It's the rules change because it's abortion, especially when it's Planned Parenthood.
Every normal court procedure goes out the door, rules go out the door, jury instructions go out the door, how you would treat information when it comes to what kind of standards of care that Planned Parenthood has got to operate under. And when they have these facilities performing actual abortion procedures, that gets thrown out the window. Everything. And that's why we call it abortion distortion. It's with the judges, with the legal standards, is that abortion gets treated differently.
Every time.
And what we're seeing now is these moves, and we're going to talk about it like in Virginia, to try and make a actual state constitutionally protected right to abortion.
They're going to amend the Constitution of Virginia.
Yeah.
We're going to get into that in a minute. But
that's when you get into real abortion distortion issues. Because then they're going to claim in court, well, see, the Commonwealth of Virginia is a constitutional right, which means it's got to put under this kind of scrutiny. And basically, what does that mean? Abortion on demand until the baby's literally being born.
Yeah, which, of course, we know the story in Virginia. Than, I think it's important for you to establish for our audience the size and the scope of what you're dealing with when you are dealing with Planned Parenthood across the street in the Capitol.
Yeah, look, it starts with what Cece described, them being the abortion giant that dominates abortions around the world, 330,000 abortions every year. Jay, less than 4,000 prenatal clients. So if you have any question about the business that they're in, their own numbers will put that dispute to rest. But look, they are also one of the biggest political forces in Washington, D.C. I can tell you, it doesn't matter what week you pick when Congress is in session. If you walk down the street, you will run into representatives of Planned Parenthood's political action wing. And they will be advocating for abortion on demand. They will be advocating for a continuation of that $560 million approximately that they take from American taxpayers each and every year. So, Jay, they've got it on both sides. They're an abortion giant, yes, but they're also a political giant. And they are the main reason, Jay, where it is no longer viable to be a pro-life Democrat in Washington, D.C.
All right, we got a lot to talk about here. We're taking your calls. How big is the life issue for you? We're taking calls 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Obviously, your support of the American Center for Law, and we just have touched on it. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Let me encourage you to go to aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. aclj.org. But it takes your gift to start that. Again, aclj.org. We encourage you to be part of the team standing with us as we stand for life. Back with more in just a moment.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Mentioned what happened in the case involving Planned Parenthood, the trial that went on for 5 weeks, now on appeal. No shock there. But the rules were different, Harry. The rules are different when it's abortion. The rules, not just at the Supreme Court, but even in a trial proceeding. Absolutely. All of a sudden, you know, you got a Fifth Amendment privilege to not testify for self-incrimination because there's been criminal charges raised against some of these pro-life participants. And the judge says, stand up and identify yourself when you're not really, that's not the way it's supposed to go. All these rules change. Inferences from the fact that you did not, if you exercise your constitutional privilege, now it's a negative inference, different than in other cases.
Absolutely. And so I think it's very, very important to note that Planned Parenthood, along with its supporters, is animated by an anti-life, pro-eugenics agenda. And in any individual who was nominated by a Democratic president, probably over the last 20 to 30 years, more likely than not, shares the presumption that the elimination of life and, in many cases, the sale of baby body parts, those are absolutely fine, so long as it advances the anti-life agenda of Planned Parenthood. And so we live in a country, and particularly if you focus on the state of California, where the rights of pro-lifers are given short shrift, yep, while the rights of pro-abortion folks are elevated. And so you have a consistent pattern, starting with the Attorney General of California, who was initially Kamala Harris, and now Xavier Becerra, who is the current Attorney General of California, they are leading the effort to, yep, advance Planned Parenthood's anti-life pro-eugenics agenda in California, and that is also true in New York State and in Virginia and many states in the United States.
So we have filed two Supreme Court briefs on petitions for certiorari that have been filed in the case. So one is the case involves Dr. Rebecca G. versus the June Medical Services. This case, which we filed the initial brief in, will break new ground in protecting babies for abortion. This is what it is. The case involves the constitutionality of a Louisiana state law requiring doctors who perform abortion to have admitting privileges in a nearby hospital. The Supreme Court struck down a similar law in 2016, but the Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit upheld Louisiana's law, holding that the requirement did not impose a substantial burden on women's abortion access. The Fifth Circuit explained how the Louisiana law had minimal impact on abortion clinics within the state. But you would think a basic admission privilege for a doctor performing surgery, CC, would make a lot of sense under if you were having a, you know, another ambulatory medical procedure. Usually admission privileges would be part of the deal.
Right. But not Planned here. Parenthood and sense don't go in the same sentence ever. Nothing they do is logical. So, you know, in this situation, they will fight against admitted privileges. They'll fight against having a medical doctor perform the abortion. They will fight against sterile operating rooms. They fight against anything that is common sense to protect a woman in this situation in a medical procedure. They fight against all of them because all they want is abortion.
But basic, you know, hospital inspection, ambulatory surgery centers, these kind of things, Jordan, would normally be not even an issue. Who would challenge whether the state has the right to come in and check this? But in this case, oh, it's abortion. You can't touch it.
Can't touch it. Can't check this. Can't look into this matter. Can't have, you know, your admitting privileges, you know, that, you know, you don't have to be like a normal doctor and have admitting privileges into a hospital somewhere, or especially a doctor who's performing surgical procedures in their office. This is not like a pediatrician's office. They are performing surgical procedures in their office, and they're saying, no, we don't have to have admitting privileges to like the hospital if something goes wrong. They are not, these are surgical procedures they're performing. So, I don't think they dispute that. I mean, they just want to play it, but they just want to be treated differently because they think if you're trying to do anything to them, you must be trying to shut us down, even when you're just trying to hold them to the normal standards that every other one has to stay. And you know why they don't like these procedures? Money. Cost money. They say they'll all shut down because they got bottom lines. See, these aren't just all about being nonprofit. A lot of this is a big
money game. We point that out in our brief.
Yeah, it's a big money game.
We said in our brief, moreover, the abortion businesses, which have profit motives for women to choose abortion, cannot be relied upon to present the full picture. Indeed, such businesses may be using statistics beside the flaws that we've described in our brief to help sell abortion to trusting women. And that, listen, there's no doubt that they're in the abortion business. Now, what's significant here is that this is the first abortion case taken by the Supreme Court since the president's nominees, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, were confirmed. So the case will have, I think, really significant ramifications. And then it is, in a sense, a litmus test for the left on abortion when it comes to the Supreme Court. And that's why they fought these justices so hard.
Well, look, Jay, it's going to be another illustration of why the judges that have been nominated by this president are going to have a big impact on this issue over the decades to come. I mean, you mentioned the new Supreme Court justices, but Jay, we've seen positive rulings out of the Ninth Circuit of all places on life cases because the narrowing gap on that court has created more favorable panel draw. So look, Jay, just one other point. You talk about the business of abortion. People need to understand just how big of a business it is. Their own numbers, Jay, are that they have $1.7 billion of revenue, and more than $560 million of that comes from the American taxpayers. Jay, last year, they reported $245 million of profit. Look, I'm not opposed to profit generally, but this is a business. This is not a women's healthcare service. This is a business, and it's rooted in abortion.
You know, CC, you handled a series of cases, and I remember these when we had success before the Supreme Court of the United States on these crisis pregnancy centers, women's health centers, and they are constantly targeted by groups like Planned Parenthood. They don't even want the alternative to be presented.
No, that's exactly right. And a lot of times because they have ultrasound machines and that, you know, it is proven statistically that once a woman sees their baby in an ultrasound, 80% of them, and it could be higher than that now, but 80% of them choose to keep their baby. Well, obviously, that's not what Planned Parenthood wants. Planned Parenthood is not about planning parenthood. It's about aborting babies. They don't want you to see your baby. Even when they do abortions, they don't allow the mothers to see the ultrasound that happens while they're doing the abortion because they don't want her to see the life that's in her.
Yeah.
And so they fight the crisis pregnancy centers because they actually have an effect of helping mothers see that they have a baby and they choose to keep that baby. And that's not their goal.
So, Harry, when you look at Planned Parenthood, we're going to get into in the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to get into kind of a historical analysis of who they are. But when you get into it and the rule changes and everything's different when it's abortion, this really affects jurisprudence, but it also impacts the quality of, I would say, rational thinking, because it is as if it's abortion, the rules go out the door.
Absolutely. So I think it's a quintessentially important point to note that the safety of women at an abortion facility is a huge concern. And that concern is a very legitimate concern. But Planned Parenthood and many Planned Parenthood supporters are quite willing to ignore the safety of women when the issue is abortion, in part because the preeminent value for many of these individuals is the reification of human autonomy as a goal, as an objective. But for Planned Parenthood, the reification of personal autonomy as a goal or as an objective is grounded in the pursuit of one thing and one thing only, and that is profits. And so essentially they're quite willing to say, oh, let's take a greater degree of risk with respect to the life of the mother when it comes to the issue of abortion. And it's also very important to note that Planned Parenthood is prepared to ignore the abysmal track record of Planned Parenthood clinics in the United States.
Jordan, how big of an effort? Dan touched on this. How big of a foe are they? People need to understand that.
I think like you have to compare them in the world, legal world. They're just like going against any other big business. So you're trying to take down like a big oil company or a big any kind of big interest. Think about them that way, because it's not just them that comes to their defense. So you got Planned Parenthood, the operator, then you have abortionists as well. Then you have their groups who are there just to push the abortion agenda on the policy level, the political level. So they have all these subsidiary groups as well. I think that's what's important to remember. When you take on an abortion organization that's tied to Planned Parenthood, you're not just taking on the $1 billion a year Planned Parenthood organization. That means you're taking on huge law firms that they have on mega retainers.
That was the case in the case in California. We were fighting the biggest.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, so and they do this around the country. So huge law firms, all these interest groups that exist only to promote abortion, like NARAL. They're just there to support Planned Parenthood on the periphery of all the issues and the political issues. So, yeah, you take them on, you're taking on one of the biggest interest groups in the country.
All right, we're taking calls, we're taking comments, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook as well. We're going to get into something going on in Virginia, and you're not going to believe it. Amending the Constitution for a constitutional amendment on abortion. Have a constitutional right to abortion in the state constitution. Support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that as we fight Planned Parenthood around the country. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Your support for the work of the ACLJ keeps us in court in the United States, at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, at the UN, at the Supreme Court of the United States. ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ now. Your donation is doubled.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. Federal law bans the sale of aborted babies, but the abortion industry is exploiting a massive loophole. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. And we're continuing our fight in court against Planned Parenthood, appealing a disturbing decision that backs Planned Parenthood. At the same time, we're engaged in key Supreme Court cases protecting life. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. A $20 gift becomes $40, a $50 gift, $100. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life, online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I'm holding in my hand our Freedom of Information Act. It's our government accountability project. This is the quarterly report on the FOIA cases, which include cases we're now looking at on the state level. In fact, it's right here. I'm holding it for you if you're watching on TV. If you're on radio, it would be on page 24. And this is documents obtained by the ACLJ reveal that the Virginia Department of Health that was putting forward that abortion bill. And Jordan, I think it's important for people. Well, let me start with Cece on this. Define what was at stake in that Virginia bill where they were basically a born-alive abortion was going to be constitutionally okay. And the representative who was promoting it, when they actually had to say it, I think that's when it kind of devolved.
I'm not sure that I want to support that bill after they said it. But it was literally allowing abortion up until the time the baby was born.
Yeah.
So just seconds separate a live birth and being able to kill that child.
So we now know that this bill was what's called a governor's bill. Why do we know that? Because we went and got a Freedom of Information Act request on the state level. In fact, right now, I have another one. This is going to the Deputy Counsel Office of the Governor, the Freedom of Information Office, the Clerk of the Senate, the House Clerk, the FOIA Officer, and the Office of Lieutenant Governor. This letter may actually go out any moment now. And this is a FOIA request for records pertaining to Senate Joint Resolution Number 2 or any effort to amend the Virginia Constitution to recognize any right to abortion and communication with abortion advocates. Jordan, they are talking about amending the Constitution for this.
Yeah, State Senator Richard Sassol has pre-filed a few days ago a measure entitled Senate Joint Resolution Number 2. It would amend the Virginia Constitution to add a provision as follows. Quote, that an individual's right to personal reproductive autonomy is central to the enjoyment of life and liberty and shall not be denied or infringed upon unless justified by a compelling interest of the Commonwealth and achieved by the least restrictive means. So this is Senate Joint Resolution 2 proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Virginia. This again, so not just a statute, not just a law, but now a constitutional right. You know, spelled
about
out
amending the Constitution
this
to do
is a
this.
State that just a few years ago was considered a red state and a few election cycles back that has made this quick of a turn by population changes to being this solidly blue kind of state where you could push an abortion bill where it's abortion on demand is a constitutional protected right, not in theory like based off Roe versus Wade and other court
cases.
This
would be in the state constitution
written down.
Yeah, so Harry, which to me is why we as pro-life advocates have to argue for the personhood of the child, because a state constitutional amendment should not be able to trump if the court were to recognize that the unborn child is in fact a human being, which how do you deny that based on the science? But Harry, they're talking about amending the Constitution of Virginia for this.
Absolutely, and it represents the outcome of two things. First, the pursuit of campaign contributions by Representative or Senator Sassol from Virginia, but it also represents the fact that the Democratic Party has been completely captured by Planned Parenthood, and in part, we, I think, should conclude that the Democratic Party is now a wholly owned subsidiary yep. of Planned Parenthood. That, I think, is the quintessential issue.
And this came up in the debates This was the debate, actually, the Democratic debate, the most recent one. Take a listen.
Louisiana reelected a Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards. He has signed one of the country's toughest laws restricting abortion. Is there room in the Democratic Party for someone like him? Someone who can win in a deep red state, but who does not support abortion rights? Senator Warren.
Look, I believe that abortion rights are human rights. I believe that they are also economic rights. And protecting the right of a woman to be able to make decisions about her own body is fundamentally what we do and what we stand for as a Democratic Party.
Okay. Abortion rights are human rights. Obviously not for the unborn child, Cece.
Yeah, and what's really strange is the economic rights. The economic rights of who? Planned Parenthood? Planned Parenthood is an economic right
to make
money
off of? No, I'm sure they're arguing, oh, it affects the economic right of the women that get the abortion. This way they have a more productive business career. I guess that's what they're arguing.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. There's the human right of the baby trumps all of this.
Well, but then this goes to the absurd nature of it again. But look, how did we fight this? So here's how we fight it. We start with this process. Now, whether we'll have to litigate it or not, don't know. We may have to, but that's okay. We have an entire government accountability project that deals with this, these issues. So Freedom of Information Act is not just what the State Department's doing on Israel or what's so.
No.
It affects issues like life. But then this is a really important issue and one that I think we were very successful with a lot of other groups, obviously. I don't want to take credit where credit should be shared by everybody. And was God gave the win when Virginia stopped that first time their attempt at that horrific legislation.
Well, look, let's take a look at specifics, Jay. During that process, it was our FOIA efforts that revealed that Emily Yates, who is the Virginia Department of Health official who Delegate Tran relied on as the quote-unquote subject matter expert on the issue to testify in support of the bill, Jay, she was a former Planned Parenthood official. That is
shocking.
Who the state of Virginia
right.
was using as a subject matter expert. That came out in our FOIA. Jay, you talk about the new amendment to the Constitution in the state of Virginia. That's what our new FOIA wants to find out. Who are you relying on as your expert witnesses for this process? I am willing to wager that Emily Yates is one of them. And Jay, I suspect we'll find out that there are others as well who are either came out of the abortion industry or who can be tied directly to it. These are not separate entities, Jay. They all become wrapped together. And one of the most effective ways that we engage to do that is to shine the light on that fact.
Harry, they're talking about amending the state constitution. So let's talk about for a moment what they're trying to actually, by doing that, what do they do?
What they are trying to do is to prevent Virginia from ever supporting the pro-life cause in the future, so that any judge in Virginia would be bound by this particular constitutional amendment. And so that even if, for instance, the United States Supreme Court decided to claw back even a bit with respect to Roe v. Wade, Virginia would be able to mandate full-throated abortion rights on demand in its state, because any attempt to reduce abortion in Virginia would have to deal with the compelling interest test embedded in this proposed constitutional amendment.
Folks, this gives you an idea of what the work of the ACLJ is like. We're fighting for life in California. We're fighting at the Supreme Court of the United States. I showed you the briefs. We are now challenging what's taking place in Virginia in this constitutional amendment, which is a long process. It could take them about a year and a half to do it, because they go 2 years, because they have to wait to their next election cycle. But they're trying to enshrine it in their constitution. Why do I say this? Because understand, this is painstaking work, but you're defending the life of the unborn child. And as I say, our government accountability project, you normally think about it, and you're thinking, what did the State Department do? What happened to the Defense Department? But here it is that we're able to use those facilities, our lawyers, to stand for life at that exact scenario, what's happening in Virginia. That's where you come in. Your support of the ACLJ and the last days of this month, our matching challenge month, are huge. Go to ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice is doubled. That means you give $20, we get $40. If you give $100, we get $200. Whatever it is. ACLJ.org. Your support makes a huge difference. At the Supreme Court, at the U.S. District Court in California, standing for life in Europe as well, or in the state of Virginia, we're going to fight back. ACLJ.org. Your matching contribution makes a huge difference. Stand with us as we stand for life at ACLJ.org.
At the ACLJ, we remain committed to protecting life. Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion business in America, is killing unborn children and then selling their organs. We're demanding Congress investigate Planned Parenthood's gruesome practices and close this loophole. We could not mount this battle without your support. And right now, your gift to the ACLJ will be doubled through our matching challenge. Stand with the ACLJ now in the fight for life online at aclj.org.